Today we uncover the intricate web of fate and chance that hangs over Frodo's departure from Bag End, as we dissect the near miss with evil that sets the stage for his perilous journey and the unseen forces that guide his path. I'm Aaron, your host and fellow Middle-earth Wanderer, and today we begin our exploration of the third chapter of J.R.R. Tolkien's Fellowship of the Ring. Now, let's wander.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
First off, today I have a Shire letter. This is from Taloy on Instagram. Hi there, I have listened to all of your podcasts on Spotify about Lord of the Rings. Great job, man. Thank you, Taloy. Question, with Saruman being a Maiar, how can he die of being stabbed by Wormtongue? Also, is there any backstory on Saruman? If so, would love to hear about it. Thank you for this great question, Taloy. Gandalf, Saruman, and even Sauron are all part of a spiritual class of beings called the Maiar, as you pointed out. The Maiar serve the Valar, and their nature is primarily spirit, not physical bodies like you and I have. In the opening pages of the Silmarillion, we see that the Valar can take physical form for their spiritual beings the same way you and I use clothing. We can assume that it's somewhat similar for the Maiar who choose to be in Middle-earth. Sauron's physical body has died at least twice that I know of, at the sinking of the island of Numenor, where his body was sunk into the depths, but his spirit escaped, and I covered all of this way back in episode 38, and perhaps more famously at the Battle of the Last Alliance, when Elendil and Gil-galad defeated Sauron, yet, as Gandalf so aptly says in the movie, the spirit of Sauron endured. Now let's take this principle even further and look at Gandalf and Saruman's bodies. But before we do, we need to know what the original mission was of the wizards. To aid the free peoples of Middle-earth through persuasion and teaching, not through power or coercion. In an effort to handicap their power, the wizards, or Istari, were given mortal bodies. In the book called Unfinished Tales, there's a whole chapter of notes and half-completed stories about the wizards. Concerning their bodies, here's an interesting line, quote, "Being embodied, the Istari had need to learn much anew by slow experience." And in a debate among the Valar about who descend to help Middle-earth, this point is said, quote, "Who would go? For they must be mighty, peers of Sauron, but must forego might and clothe themselves in flesh, so as to treat on equality and win the trust of elves and men. But this would imperil them, dimming their wisdom and knowledge, and confusing them with fears, cares, and weariness coming from the flesh." Even Gandalf, after his encounter with the Balrog, fell into death. His spirit left his physical body, but he was sent back, and his body was restored. Interesting trivia, it was the eagles who carried Gandalf's body from the mountaintop and carried it to Lothlorien only days after the Fellowship had departed. You can check out more of that in Karen Wynne Fonstad's Atlas of Middle-earth. Okay, let's bring this all together. How could Saruman be killed by a dagger from Wormtongue? We've established that the physics of Middle-earth dictate that even though Saruman was a spiritual being, his mortal body was still susceptible to death. But there's something else at play here. a theme that my previous guest, Becca Tarnas, pointed out for me in Lord of the Rings. Evil defeats evil. As she writes in her book, Journey to the Imaginal Realm, quote, "We see here the final end of Saruman, who certainly seems to deserve the fate that comes to him. That Saruman falls at Wormtongue's hand is the final example of evil destroying itself." So, Taloy, there's your answer. That was a fun one. Thank you for sending that in. And if you, who are listening right now, would like to send me a Shire letter, drop me a note on Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast, or email me. Both have links in the show notes. Now, let's check the map. If you are new to the show, then first, welcome. Second, hit that subscribe or follow button so that you never miss out on any new episodes. And lastly, these map checks are inspired by the beautiful maps that accompany the Lord of the Rings books, and I hope will give you the context on where we've explored before and what we'll wander through today. We have deeply wandered the second chapter of The Fellowship of the Ring, titled A Shadow of the Past. In that chapter, Gandalf gave Frodo the history of Sauron, the Rings of Power, and the One Ruling Ring. They also debated the ethics of Bilbo's pity in not killing Gollum, as well as Gollum's tragic tale. Finally, Frodo has decided that he must save the Shire by taking the ring away and leaving the hobbits out of harm's way. But as for when and how and where to do that, those questions remain unanswered. And so we begin Chapter 3 of Fellowship, Three is Company. Our wandering today will cover the first 5 pages of that chapter. In my 2002 How to Mifflin edition, that'll be pages 64 through 69. The opening paragraph reminds us of the slow pacing of the novel. 2 or 3 weeks have passed since Frodo has decided to leave, but, quote, "still Frodo made no sign of getting ready to go." Privately, he's decided to leave after his shared birthday with Bilbo, but he still doesn't know where to go. Now, if you're a Lord of the Rings movie fan and this is your first foray into the book, then you are likely thinking, didn't Gandalf tell Frodo to head to Bree? Yes, he did in the movie. However, the story was written differently. This difference, while seemingly trivial, fits within Gandalf's primary motivations and limitations as a character. Gandalf, as an emissary of the powers that govern Middle-earth, could not force or coerce elves or men, or hobbits for that matter, to good deeds. I mentioned this earlier in answering Taloy's question. Gandalf was particular in his humility among the wizards, and we see this humility in this line he says to Frodo, quote, "If you want my advice, make for Rivendell." Rivendell is, of course, the obvious place to go. To Frodo, it's confirmation that his journey will be somewhat like Bilbo's, since Rivendell was the launching place for Bilbo's adventure. Yet still, Frodo sees that his own quest is the inverse of Bilbo's. Quote, "What is to be my quest? Bilbo went to find a treasure, there and back again. But I go to lose one, and not return, as far as I can see." This small inversion, a quest to get rid of a talisman of great power, is rather unique among fantasy stories, and all stories for that matter. Just think about the last time you saw a movie or read a book where the central conflict of the story was to get rid of a powerful object or gift that could have saved the hero from much suffering and trouble. There's not many. The uniqueness of this story reveals one of the major themes of Tolkien's works that we've explored before, the nature of power. Or as Tolkien would define it, quote, "making the will more quickly effective." Power, with a capital P, allows you to get what you want more quickly. Power removes barriers. Power gives you the ability to subdue other wills to your own. And especially for mortal creatures such as you and I, power gives the false promise that death can be conquered, if only we had the power to do so. So you can see, in Frodo's simple statement that his quest is to lose a treasure, that small insight illustrates Tolkien's point when he said, quote, "all this stuff is mainly concerned with the fall, mortality, and the machine, which leads to the desire for power." That quote, by the way, comes from Tolkien's letter to his publisher, Milton Waldman. We've explored this letter extensively in episodes 129 through 132. To wrap up, in Tolkien's view, great power must be limited and checked. And there is no cause so dire or desperate for unrestrained power to step in and save it. Before we go on, I want to thank you for listening to the show. Your support means the world to me. However, far too many people are stuck in the doldrums of their daily lives. They need a little dose of Middle-earth in order to feel some hope again. You likely know 2 or 3 such people. You can imagine them in your mind. You can be like Frodo on a quest to cast away a great treasure. And you can share this great treasure of a show with the people you were just thinking of. Send them a link in a text message. Hit that share button. Take a screenshot of your podcast player and send it to someone. When you share the show, you help this company of wanderers to grow. So thank you. Where were we? Ah, yes. Frodo decides to head east to Rivendell. He sails Bag End and makes ready to move to the eastern regions of the Shire, where he can more easily slip out unnoticed and ungossiped. However, in the preparations, Gandalf had already left the Shire to gather more news. He promises to return to help Frodo on the road, but as the time to depart presses nearer and the days pass, Gandalf doesn't come, and Frodo's anxiety begins to grow. At one point, the narrator even points out that, quote, he did not come or send word. This lack of a potential message, from Frodo's perspective at least, will become really important in just a few chapters, so log that detail in your brain and we'll unpack that in a future episode, especially if you've only seen the movies. Also, you can see here the subtle class distinction between Frodo, his friends, and Samwise. Four hobbits are consistently mentioned as Frodo's friends. These were mentioned before in the previous chapters, but for reference, they are Fredegar Bolger, Folko Boffin, and Merry and Pippin. These four, with Frodo, do all the packing and preparation, and even celebrate the shared birthday party together. Sam, on the other hand, is not mentioned until Frodo is actually leaving. He's going as Frodo's employee. He will continue his services as gardener. The class differences come to a point with Lobelia Saxville Baggins. When it's determined that a key will be left with the Gamgees so that she can access the house, she complains that the lower-class hobbits were, quote, capable of plundering the hole during the night. To our modern ears, and even to my American eyes, these class distinctions are subtle, and we may even breeze over them, as Peter Jackson did in the movie adaptations. But to Tolkien, these might have been so ingrained and natural. And it underscores two themes that we'll see over and over again. That the most seemingly insignificant people are too often looked over and underestimated, and that friendship can blossom in even the most unlikely of companions. I have one more breakdown for you, Frodo's first encounter with an evil agent. We'll get to that right after this break. We're not done yet. If you like this episode, please leave a review and share with your friends. And remember to subscribe if you haven't already. We'll be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sauron never directly appears in any scene of The Lord of the Rings. He is an absent, yet ever-present bad guy in the whole novel. This literary device of a distant, yet all-too-near and real evil power is difficult to achieve, and few storytellers have dared to try. This theme is yet another reason why The Lord of the Rings stands apart from other tales in a league of its own. And we see this theme begin right here, in this chapter. Here's the setting. Frodo is about to leave Bag End, his home, his comfortable, warm hobbit hole, the one that started out Tolkien's published works. You remember that line, in the hole in the ground there lived a hobbit? His home now feels like nothing that we associate with it. Quote, the sun went down. Bag End seemed sad and gloomy and disheveled. No more light, no more comfort, only darkness and depression. Frodo is anxious that Gandalf hasn't come. As Frodo wanders the familiar rooms, quote, shadows creep out of the corners. You need to see this because this setup is the perfect stage for what happens next. As Frodo strolls outside, he hears Sam's dad, the gaffer, talking with an unfamiliar voice that sounds, quote, strange and somehow unpleasant. The stranger is looking for Frodo, but the gaffer mistakenly believes that Frodo is already gone and dispenses with the stranger. The stranger turns and leaves without approaching Bag End. And, quote, Frodo wondered vaguely why the fact that the stranger left seemed a great relief. Who was this stranger? In Appendix B, where Tolkien gave the detailed timeline called The Tale of Years, we find this entry on this date, quote, four black riders enter the Shire before dawn. A Black Rider comes to Hobbiton at nightfall. Frodo leaves Bag End. Yes, you heard that right. Frodo was mere yards away, and just out of sight, of one of Sauron's Black Riders, the Nazgul, a bearer of one of the 9 rings of power given to men. And it is only by mere chance that the Gaffer sends him away. Middle-earth was saved by Sam's dad's simple misunderstanding. What would have happened if this agent of evil would have revealed himself? What would have happened if the Rider had seen Frodo? Frodo would be seized, the ring reclaimed, and whatever little hope was left would all be lost. By luck, evil remained absent and did not directly enter the tale just yet. The stranger leaves, Frodo is relieved. He gathers Pippin and Sam, by the way, has been helping himself to the last of Frodo's beer, and the 3 hobbits, yes, I said 3, Pippin, Sam, and Frodo, jump over the hedge, head off into the night, and take the first steps of their quest. Join me in the next episode, where evil will start to take more direct action in Frodo's story. Thank you for wandering Middle-earth with me today. My friends, if you enjoyed this episode, let me know by subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing with your friends. Follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Lore of the Rings Podcast. For feedback on the show, please email me using the link in the show notes. Until next Thursday, remember, not all those who wander are lost.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Raise your hand if this has happened to you today. You're in the middle of work, you're knocking things off the to-do list, getting stuff done, and your kid asks you to play. Do you drop everything? Do you ask them to wait a minute? What do? If you're like me, you don't always say yes right away. The kid moves on, you get busy, and you forget to circle back around and play. An opportunity to make a memory has been lost, and the dad guilt settles in. Not so anymore. I've developed a simple game that will enable you to take those small moments and have fun. It's called Dad's Adventure Dice Digital Edition. My 5-year-old daughter asks me nearly every day, "Can we do Dad Adventure Dice?" What follows are some quick rolls of the dice that lead to a fun activity with an intriguing twist. Within 5 or 10 minutes, we've had a lot of fun, shared a lot of laughter, and made a memory together. Download your own Dad's Adventure Dice today. Visit store.adventures.dad to download yours. That's store.adventure.dad to download Dad's Adventure Dice.